It's the Rush Hour on Triple M with JB and Bill.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Coates Hire on 13 15 52.
Nice to have him in too, Purple. Yeah. Good to see you.
Yeah, okay, boys. Hey. I've worn for the first time today a mask.
And Jim,
it's fair to say they're not conducive for people with four eyes.
No, you look very bad. Yeah. There's no, I can't break it down any other way.
You look very bad. Has our Premier worn a mask yet?
Good question, Bill. I don't know. Well, you have to now at the AFL if
you're
going to go into the building.
Yep. And you've got to wear one at the AFL.
If you go into the building, yeah. Yeah, gee, you do.
Donald Trump's even wearing
it. I saw that today. Yeah. And the cool air in the Docklands precinct this morning, Jim, with the, warm breath. Just fogged up for
glasses
when I went and get a coffee. Well, so not the greatest things.
Our Premier should wear a mask.
Why, Jim?
It should be a mask of someone who's got some remote idea of what he's doing.
What did you say about him on the weekend, Jim? Just put the keys on the fridge?
Leave the key on the fridge and clean the desk out and just wander off. That's what he's got to do.
I can't see how you can blame him for everything. But anyway, what do you got, Damo?
Well, I didn't mind a lot of the games that we saw in round six, but there are a couple of... Carlton was really good, wasn't it?
100 points they kicked.
I'm trying to get a spot on the bandwagon there, Bill. It might be too late.
No. They're not letting you on.
They're okay with me at the moment.
Are they?
Yeah, other clubs aren't that happy, but they're okay. That was the good way to finish the round, but... Yeah. It has become an issue, and we don't sugarcoat things on Triple M here, do we, Jim?
No.
There's been some stinkers too.
Well, but I think there always are. They're highlighted a bit at the moment, I think, because of the shorter quarters, which means we don't see as much scoring.
Yeah.
So the Sydney-Richmond game, what do they kick? Two goals between them in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And we've seen this forever too. Dimmer blames Horse for parking the bus.
Yeah.
Horse says, well, it wasn't us,
it wasn't
and you
me.
Were just as bad at it as well.
Yeah.
This has been going on for 30 years.
It has. And look, they're usually more respectful of each other, aren't they, after the match to keep it in-house. But last night, Damien Hardwick, the two-time Richmond Premiership coach, Bill, put it all the blame.
It was a horrendous game of football, there's no doubt about that. It was hard to watch, it was hard to play. It was just incredibly frustrating, and I didn't think we were much chance of scoring, but they were no chance of scoring. I think they got two goals from 50-metre penalties, but outside of that, they kicked one goal for the game. Well, there's not much I can do. I'm sitting there, we're attacking, and we've got 75,000 people in our forward 50, so it's pretty hard. Once again, we're to figure out how to negate. It's probably happened a couple of times this year, and it's become a tactic in the AFL. Fallback mentality is really keeping sides in games at the moment, and it's creating probably the game that we got tonight.
So that was his take on it. And as you say, Jim, the truth is going to be somewhere in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah. But they've got no goal kicker, Sydney. No Buddy.
All Ruckman.
No Tom Ruckman. Yeah. No Tom McCartan. Yeah. No Sam Reed. So at the leading goal kicker, who do you reckon's winning the Coleman right now?
Well, I know who is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Papley.
Yeah.
After six rounds with 13 goals.
Mm.
But they have done this for a long time, Sydney. They've always had a mentality that they will allow the ball into their defensive 50 and then rebound from there. So they've always had a lot of people parked at the back half of the ground. But also, Purple, I would argue, because of the shorter quarters and therefore the players are less fatigued, they're able to work defensively a lot harder for the whole of the game, and therefore we're seeing less scoring.
No, we are.
And which was always going to happen. As soon as you shorten the quarters, you get less scoring.
It is. And I think to your point about the shorter quarters, it's almost exacerbated this mindset of the coach to start off negatively because of the less time. And the Swans, as woeful as they were, it got to 10 minutes remaining in that match and they were 8 points behind at one stage. And they could have stolen it from nowhere.
Blakey kicks that goal with about 3 minutes to go. They're two points down.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I tell you what it's not doing is causing anyone to switch off. The ratings numbers are extraordinary.
Yeah, we've got nothing else to do.
Extraordinary. Like between 10 and 15% up year on year, which is unbelievable.
That's a big number. A
huge number.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that's got to do with the fact that we're, for some godforsaken reason, back in lockdown.
So
people have got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But still, it's 10 to 15% year on year is huge.
It is. And is that across the entire six rounds?
Well, certainly that's from Seven's point of view.
Yeah.
The free-to-air games at Seven put to air, they are 10 to 15% up this time last year.
I think I'm watching more games from first kick to last kick than ever before, and I'm assuming that's reflective in other people's viewing habits too.
But as usual, there was three or four good games, there was three or four bad games, and which happens.
Yep.
Go back
anyway.
Back in our day.
And the other one too, who's got a few issues when it comes to the state of the game, and he's public about it, is Alistair Clarkson, Bill. If you just look at the start of that game that they played on the Friday night, wasn't it, against Collingwood. they had possession of the ball for the first 2 minutes of the match. It was all inside their own defensive 50, and they just went from different points of that defensive 50 for 2 minutes. I mean,
like basketball.
That's a mindset thing. I don't care what anyone says. So that Alistair Clarkson, when he bemoans the state of the game, which he did do 3 weeks ago and which he has done a few times since, and he's entitled to do that, don't get me wrong, but also realise your own role in that presentation of the game. And I think that's probably been lost a little bit in the way he's wanting this message to be conveyed to the public.
The AFL coming down very hard on the bump, and fair enough.
Yeah, they are. And there were a spate of them, weren't there? One's going to the tribunal in Ben Long's situation. And just on that, I don't know how a sports body can't have a mechanism to deal with it without the need to go to a tribunal. If you say that the box ticking exercise gets you to a point you don't like it, I still don't understand why you can't just say that's worth three or four.
Yep,
it's a waste of time, resource, and the moment you get retired judges and QCs, Bill, and other legal people involved, it's just lost. So let's just deal with it as an industry.
So why would he send it there? Is it too hard?
Because of the box ticking didn't quite marry up with what they felt the message needed to be. And that's a convoluted way of saying it's going to the tribunal. The Dylan Shiel one on Curtis Taylor, Jim, it's an interesting one because Curtis Taylor came back on.
Yep.
But there has been some talk, as we talk, how much damage was sustained to the face as a result. But I had no issue with him getting 2 weeks initially. We'll see how it goes beyond that. And Ebert from Port Adelaide on Perryman of the Giants. Different scenario to the Long and Shiel matters, but ultimately head-high contact, which again, we'll see him miss football. So, it's interesting, isn't it? We get three serious and significant hits in the last weekend of footy.
Right.
And just touching on a couple of injuries too, Bill, the Swans, Josh Kennedy.
A lot of injuries too.
Went down on the weekend, as did Isaac Kearney. And the Kennedy situation is a 6 weeks on the sidelines for him. And Heaney's going to require surgery after scans.
On his ankle.
Has discovered a dislocation and rupture of the medial ligament in his ankle. So he's going to miss the whole season, Heaney.
Heaney out.
Yeah.
That's so two big outs.
What'd they kick? 3 goals on the weekend, 3-8. And they're losing Kennedy and Heaney.
Kennedy for 6 and Heaney for the season. Oh, well, and he's their best player, Jim, I feel, isn't he? I mean, I know you've got a massive rap on him and have since he first played.
Brilliant.
But I felt he was tracking well for a 6-year player.
Oh, yeah.
I
think
he's
Gold Coast now.
All right. time for Purple to get positive now. I like it when he's positive. And he's positive next.
For Coats Hire, Damien Barrett is in the studio.
Yes.
Positives from round 7.
Well, come on then.
There's only one word.
Well, two words. Isaac Rankin.
Oh, I was going to say Isaac, but Rankin. How good. For once I sat there and you get out of your seat nearly and you go, just kick it down to him because he was flying for high marks, crumbing, and probably kicked two of the best first goals ever.
I had to wait 18 months for his first game of footy because he was a high draft pick in the 2018 draft and just didn't get a look at it at all last year. And then even in the shutdown period was still under a few ailments. But, gee, you can see in the space of 20 minutes of footy why the excitement levels were what they were when he went into that particular draft, Jim. And, look, they lost that game against Melbourne. We'll touch on Melbourne in a moment under the positives, but the debut of that guy, as unfortunate and disruptive as it was to lose the other great junior in Matty Rell the previous week, well, they've just got, it's not a like-for-like replacement, but in terms of a young player and an illustration of the future of that club, in the space of 1 week, they've got it.
Brilliant. No. And of course, add to that Anderson and Lukosius and King, and they are going to have a very nice, I don't want to use the word cluster, Bill, but cluster of unbelievably talented young players.
And he's got a bit of Parkeroon about him, Jim.
Which we like.
Rankin. He's got a bit of...
You were taken by it, Bill, weren't you?
I was.
We talked even on and off yesterday on the Sunday Footy Show, and you were very, very enamoured with what he did.
I like Matty Rowell, but he's just a good, strong, tough midfielder. But this bloke could do everything. Every time he went near the ball, something was going to happen. I loved it.
I thought, there's a lot of clubs that came out of round 6 with some great positivity. None more so than Carlton.
Good.
Back
very good.
Literally, and for the first time in Paddy Cripps' recent history, anyway, in the 8, the big 4 in the 8 at the moment, Jim. You always talk about the big 4 in Melbourne. They're in the 8. But what they did against the Bulldogs, they capitalised on some really good work by kicking goals. And while you say that may be an obvious thing to do, a lot of clubs don't, do they? They can spray them in front of goals. But they got away early, maintained it, ran away, and did it with a
leg in the air.
Portion of style.
Oh,
about it.
Yeah.
And you can see why Jack Martin was so sought after by every single team in Melbourne when it was obvious that he was leaving the Suns, and the Blues got him for basically nothing.
Eddie Betts, what about his turnover?
Yeah, another four goals. Gibbons is a far better player than I thought we realised last
year. And Levi Casbolt now just goes back from 50 and goes bang. Like, unbelievable.
And Harry McKay, again, he's not best on ground, but he did enough, didn't he? You can just see. And I thought McGovern at the times too, again, not best on ground, but just showing enough to know that they're going to fit into this this Blues system. And I really like what they
just done. We'll see Port Adelaide on the weekend at the Gabba, so that will be Kenneth. One that we'll all watch on a Sunday.
Speaking of them, we may as well switch into them because they lost to the Lions the previous week, the Power, and then bounced back big time yesterday, didn't they, with the big win over GWS.
I like Kenny
in the team song.
That was good in the middle. He's 300th life membership of the AFL. Well done to him.
Yep.
But in there in the middle, didn't know if they were going to spray him with Power.
They did.
And they did in the end.
Yes.
They did.
But
sometimes you can be fake about that emotion, can't you, Bill? But you look at that vision and those players, Jim, and the way he was engaging with him in that moment, there was nothing at all fake about that. I loved it. Essendon, I keep saying, I don't think anyone even at Essendon thought after five games, and they've played one less, as we know, to everyone else, would be 4-1 and the one win coming by just 1 point in a match they should have won against Carlton. So, look, well done. And they did it on the weekend.
Ground away.
It's only a narrow margin, wasn't it? 15 points in the end, but they were never going to lose that game against North. Did it without Stringer and Heppel, Bill, and obviously Danaher, but you don't know when he returns. But without Stringer, who's been really good to what they've been.
They're going well. I tell you who else are going well.
Who's that?
Fremantle.
Fremantle aren't going well.
Now, we didn't talk enough about this, Bill, because we had to get off air quick on the weekend.
Yeah.
Justin Longmuir takes an enormous amount of credit out of that game. They were on the ropes and heading to the canvas.
7-1 first quarter.
He found a way in the 10 minutes at the start of the second term to A, stop their ball movement, and then B, put some belief into his group that they could score using the ball themselves.
Yeah.
And then the next hour of footy they put together was a great credit to him and them. I thought they were brilliant.
Just went about it, didn't they? Slowly, and then won. So well done. You're right.
And to do that in the last week of their requirements in the hub there too, having got their first win of the season and his first as a coach the previous week against Adelaide the previous week. So to go from 0-4 to 2-4 and now to go back to Perth with a couple of wins behind them. And as you say, to come back from 37 down against the Saints was a great thing.
West Coast will be all right too going back.
Yeah.
Beaten
the team 17th and 18th on the ladder in the past 2 weeks, but they go back to Perth with a 3-3 scoreline. I think that's the key to what that's about. Melbourne, Jim.
Yep. And didn't Bill, see it. Tell us a bit. Tell me a bit about it.
They did what they had to do. It's similar to what Carlton had to do against the Bulldogs yesterday. They got the win they needed up on the Gold Coast, against the Gold Coast. And we were critical the previous week, weren't we, about their ball use particularly. Mm. And those players who we did identify last week, particularly Oliver, turned it round. Viney was great, as often is the case. And Wiedemann just provided them a structure.
Well, I reckon it was one at selection. And I don't know why he wouldn't have had Wiedemann in that side earlier. Yeah. And also Harley Benell
was great.
And the other Neville Jetta. I don't know why they don't play. It's funny, isn't it, when you look at other sides, and you're not in the tent, I know, but those three just made them a better side.
I did. A couple of other quick references. We go back to the start of the round on Thursday, Geelong, Bill. Mm. Oh, that was as impressive as they've been for a long time.
At the 8-minute mark of the second quarter, when Lachie Neale kicked that goal, Cats were 20 points down. Mm. They looked like they were going to get beaten by 100 points.
Yeah.
So again, to turn that around.
Danger.
Outstanding.
He's going to win another Brownlow, isn't he?
Well, he's on his way. I think Lachie Neale will be leading, but he's on his way. But Menengola is another one that we probably don't talk. I don't reckon we've ever mentioned his name. But he's been great for him.
He has been.
And Sammy Simpson, Sugar, Narra's boy. Narra. He had 27 touches. He was outstanding, little Narra.
And the Pies, just to sign off on the positives. Good. Really good job against Hawthorn. And you're big, Jim, aren't you, on the, what do you call it, the risky ball where you take off the 45.
Risk and reward, bite off the kick on the 45.
They took it on the whole game, and Darcy Moore led the way out of the back line, but their precise use of the ball and prepared to go through the corridor with those risky kicks, but kicks that open up the field and literally blew open Hawthorn.
Oh, yeah.
Well done. And they'd had a tumultuous period, as we know and as we had talked about regularly. But
what about this Thursday night? In front of 30,000, do you reckon? Geelong, Collingwood over at Optus Stadium.
I'd love them to be able to get that full capacity, which is 30,000 on that occasion. I couldn't see why not.
You get as many in as you can get in, yeah. wouldn't you?
Well, they're 50%.
Which is 50% of the capacity. So
footy starved.
I mean, you've lived there, Jim.
Bloody oath, I'd be going.
30,000,
no doubt I'd be going. And speaking of teams biting off the 45,
yeah.
there's one that categorically refused to. their eyes can't even see that part of the ground. I'm going to get to that next.
Guess who he's talking about, Dave?
I'm getting to that next.
His team.
On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Back after 2 week
all
break.
Right. Yeah, it's nice break. And we've had all the positives and the issues. Yeah. So now it's time to get down and dirty and negative.
Well, you start us, Jim.
Get off the Michael Holding run up, Jim. He's going to push off the MCG side screen. Mm. He's going to bowl to
Kevlar vessels.
Go for it. North Melbourne, what's wrong?
My issue with the Kangaroos Saturday night was twofold. Firstly, I'm not sure they had a very good time in match committee at all. Anyone who knows what happens on the Gold Coast, Bill, Metricon Stadium, under lights, knows that it's basically a wet weather game. The ball gets so slippery that no one can handle it.
It's almost worse than a wet weather game,
isn't it? So why you would choose to go into that game with three 200-centimetre people, Campbell? I have no idea. So you got Goldie, who, by the way, I think is the All-Australian ruckman at the moment. I don't give a stuff what anyone says.
Oh, Grundy might be arguing that to you.
No, he's flying, Goldie. So he was unbelievable. And then Benny Brown hasn't seen it all year, but you hang on to him for obvious reasons. But you don't go in with a third one.
No.
So as soon as the ball went into North Melbourne's forward line, it just trampolined out of there the whole night. So I don't quite understand that.
No.
But secondly, you just get the ball, you look up, you go long down the line hoping for a stoppage is not going to win you very many games of footy. And you talk about Collingwood, and I love the way that they bite off that kick on the 45 and take the risk of maybe it being turned over and scored against, but that's what sets up opportunities to score yourself. At the moment, the Kangaroos players aren't even seeing that part of the ground. Mm. Their eyes aren't even diverting into the corridor ever. So what that means is they're very easy to play against, very easy to defend against. And when you don't protect the corridor yourself, we saw what happened Saturday night where Saad and McKenna and, you know, all these players just start overlap running through the middle. And in the end, I thought 15 points wasn't probably quite reflective of the night. So for me, Reece, who, you know, I'm a big fan of, but I reckon they've got to now start saying to Simpkin and Thomas and a few
and
of these.
And he's been all right, Simpkin, by the way.
No, he's been really good. Higgins, all of them. Look, if you see it on the 45, bite it off. If we get scored against, don't worry about it. We've got to get more dare into what we're doing.
Yeah, well, that loss to Essendon was the fourth in a row, following, working backwards, losses to the Bulldogs, Hawthorn and Sydney, and that came after a 2-0 start to the year, Bill. So the magic's gone.
Got Richmond this week. Richmond will be very tough. Well,
they haven't played 6 of the favoured 7 on bookmakers' charts. Those matches are still to come for North Melbourne. So the Reece Shaw honeymoon period's over. The bigger picture of the club, the list to which you've half referred to there, Jim, I think it's questionable. There's a lot of recycled players. Yeah. 8 of them are in that team on the weekend.
At least
and there's
they didn't
another
play
four.
Cunnington.
Yeah, well, he wasn't to play.
No, I know, but
you know, he's a massive out. Yeah. If a fit Ben Cunnington makes a huge difference, and Zeeble and all, you know,
and Jed Anderson
and
too was a late out. But is that, that's only 3 out.
I'm more talking about the style. I think if you just go long down the line as you 1-wood, 2-wood, 3-wood, 4-wood, then you're going to get found out pretty quickly.
Yep.
Who else? Well, yeah, while we're getting negativity.
I think St Kilda needs to be in this conversation too because of the lack of ability when they get to 5 and 6 goals up. Round one, they were 5 goals plus up against North Melbourne. On the weekend just gone, as we touched on a few moments ago, they were 6 goals plus up against the Dockers. They've lost those 2 games. And in a season which is already abridged to 17 games, Bill, those sorts of performances are going to come back to cost them in a way that is going to be adverse to whatever happens, be that fall into the 8 or just miss it. It's a poor performance.
What I'd think, I reckon they've got a young, developing list, haven't they? And they've all got to learn from this.
Yes.
So I reckon they're on the right track. And unfortunately, these losses don't help, but they're on the right track.
Yeah.
Don't you think, with the Saints? Look at them, they're 7th, they're 3-3.
But they can't lose to Fremantle when they're 6 goals up.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it's going to be costly.
But their intensity, Bill, dropped away horribly after quarter time.
But
that's a non-negotiable. That's something that you don't need talent for.
No,
they just stopped pressuring, they stopped tackling, they stopped chasing. It all just fell away.
Yep.
So at least Brett Ratton will know that and be able to work on it for this week.
That's right.
And Hawthorn too, just in that negative outcome for that club out of round 6, and it's been a couple of weeks now where that's been the case for the Hawks. I think they're in no man's land, and he's such a good coach. He could still conjure enough wins to get around about eighth spot, but I don't know what that's going to mean in the big picture for that particular.
And just a mini negative with the Hawks. I'm not sure I liked seeing the big general speak to the club doctor like that.
Yeah, we were big on that, weren't you?
No, I didn't like.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing that purple. Yeah. You must always show the respect. People who are the staff at your club great respect. Yeah. And I don't think he showed him any respect, and that just worries me.
No,
a little.
It does. And the people who haven't caught up with that, he damaged a hamstring early in that game, and obviously the frustrations attached to injury and that player were boiling over to the point where he was quite abusive and yeah, demonstrably so.
But I would be surprised. They've got great leaders at that club, Al Clarkson being, of course, the main one. So I'd be surprised if someone didn't pull him aside and say, listen, mate, not good what happened to you, and we all understand the frustrations you're feeling, but that doesn't enable you to speak to a staff member like that. Yep. I would hope that it would.
Hey Jim, you barely get Bill for to be focused for an hour each afternoon. Two hours on a Sunday morning on live TV are dangerous.
So where's the bus going?
Well, we're going to send it. We're going to follow this man back down the highway to Geelong because
at least to Topin
through the bloody police gates.
Yeah, got to go through a little river.
Yep, he only just hangs on, Jim, right. And this was late in another juggernaut show of the Sunday Footy Show yesterday as TJ was coming out of an ad break.
Welcome back to the Sunday Footy Show. Bill, what are you doing over there?
I just got a muffin. It's very nice, actually.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Do you want to put that down and we'll continue doing this live television show? Okay?
White chocolate muffin. Jeez, it
was
nice.
TJ's speaking to you like a school teacher.
Yeah, he does.
To a kid in the front row who's not listening.
Yeah, exactly right. I've had enough of him too, old chompers.
What was the reference to Yabba Dabba Doo?
It was something about Abba Dooby Dabby or whatever it's... Oh, no. And the favourite show was Yabba Dabba Doo. I couldn't think of the joke properly. It didn't work, but I thought we're off here. Lucky it was only Yabba Dabba Doo day, mate. And we're all going away. We decided on Sunday because we made some good money on our little punting trip.
We're going on a boys' trip, Jim.
We're going on a boys' trip. Yeah. To the Gold Coast. Imagine that.
What, in 2024?
No, with Chompers.
Oh, no.
Lordo, Nath Brown, and Damo and me.
And Kane's not coming.
Hey?
Kane's not coming.
He's not allowed to come.
He's not allowed.
Because all he'll do is run, go for runs every day. I imagine. But
Lordo likes a boys' trip.
No, Lordo likes it. We got breezes. But I don't think Chompers wants to come, does he?
He doesn't want any part of you anyway, Fat.
A bit of money.
What about anywhere else for the bus before we let you go?
Jim, it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt you more. Oh, no. Arden Street.
They're in the bloody Gold Coast, so you need to send it up there.
Well, we just need to sort Arden Street out first, Jim, when they get back. and we'll send the other one. We'll send the other one to Dingley and Waverley for when Hawthorn gets back there as well, because they're in an awkward position right now.
Nice weather. Nice weather in Dingley.
Always nice in Dingley. Good to see you, Purple. Thanks for that.
See you, boys.
Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Co Tire on 13 50 52.